Based on hundreds of millions of real-world tests, the experts at Ookla Speedtest have spoken. T-Mobile is now the best mobile network in America. So you can keep up with all the MLB action from the ballpark to the backcountry because they've got the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. Oh, and did I mention the largest satellite-to-mobile network? They're way ahead making sure that the fans experience every pitch, play, and post-game moment. So whether you're streaming the game out and about, checking stats on the road, or experiencing ballpark perks with Magenta status, you're ready to stay connected wherever your fandom takes you. Head over to T-Mobile.com/network to switch to the best network. For baseball fans, it's better over here. Based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence, data first half 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
No one plans for hair loss. But through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit Hims.com/Hail Mary. That's Hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. Hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here.
We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Welcome to the Tool Shed, a podcast covering all aspects of fantasy baseball to help you win all of your fantasy leagues. From the MLB draft all the way to the show, we're here to help give you the edge in your dynasty leagues. Now, here are your hosts, Eric Cross and Chris Clegg.
Welcome into another episode of the Tool Shed with Clegg and Cross, brought to you by Rotoballer. This is episode 273. Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Eric Cross. And with me, as usual, is my 80 grade co-host with the 80 grade voice back, Mr. Chris Clegg. How's it going, bud?
We're back almost 100%, but I think the voice sounds at least pretty close to normal. So hopefully we'll be a better episode. And we don't have a guest today, so probably need to talk a little more. It's a good thing I have a voice back. So yeah, looking forward to this one. It will be a good episode.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, we're moving on from our Dynasty and Prospect ranking series. That's all done. That was a lot of fun, though. A lot of great episodes in total. It was, I'm not even sure, probably what, 16, 18, 20 episodes, somewhere in that. We did at least two per position, three for outfield, three for starting pitcher. A lot of great guests along the way, too. So if you missed any of those, go back and check those out. Those are obviously evergreen. You can listen to them now. You can listen to them in a month from now, whenever you're getting your prep ready or just want to listen to a podcast. And we are continuing with our kind of redraft prospect episode here. We did the American League. We went team by team, you know, what prospects we think will make an impact or when they'll be up. Now we're doing the National League version here. But before we get into the show, obviously, make sure you check out both of Chris and I's work. We appreciate the support at thedynastydugout.com and toolshedfantasy.com. Drop that 5-star rating and review for the pod. We greatly appreciate all of those. And make sure to check out all the great work at Roto Baller, you know, articles, podcasts, tools. There's a lot of great stuff to help you succeed this fantasy season. And if you use the code TOOLSHED, get you 10% off any premium package, no matter the sports. So go over to rotoballer.com, check out all that great stuff. We'll go alphabetically, division by division, starting with the National League East and with Chris's Atlanta Braves. You know, not a ton of big names that are going to be up this year, but two significant ones on the pitching side with probably A.J. Smith-Shawver, obviously already debuted last year, not in the rotation to start the year, you know, after the Chris Sale acquisition. Looks like it's going to be Strider, Fried, Morton, Sale, and Bryce Elder to start the year. Fried had some arm issues. Morton's like 47 at this point, or 40, wherever he is now. Chris Sale obviously can never stay healthy, and Bryce Elder really fizzled out down the stretch. So, Chris, I think there's still a path to Smith-Shawver making a good amount of starts, and Waldrop too. How much do you think we see of these guys this year? Like, do you think 15, 20 starts for both of them is attainable?
Yeah, I believe so. You think about the fact that just a couple of things you mentioned. One, Fried wasn't healthy last year. I'm a little bit concerned about his health this year. Morton is 40. We've seen his innings kind of decline. He's been a stable source of innings, but they have trickled down each year. Chris Sale, last year is the first time he threw over 100 since 2019, if I'm not mistaken. So that was a pretty good gap in between there. And Bryce Elder was absolutely atrocious in the second half. He was like a 5.15 ERA. And I think that they've said there's going to be open competition in spring training. If I'm throwing my bets, I'm guessing that Elder is probably the guy, the fifth guy at least to start the season. But for how long, I think it's a good question to think about. And ultimately, yeah, I would think A.J. Smith-Shawver is probably the next man up. He pitched in the majors last year. He was pushed aggressively from high A all the way to the majors within a two-month span. And then you have Hurston Waldrop, who they drafted last summer in the first round, and he made a triple A with rumors that he was going to get the call up to the majors for the playoffs. While he didn't, still to be in consideration for that in your draft year is pretty impressive nonetheless. Those guys are both ones to keep eyes on, I would say. I think that I'm comfortable saying 15 starts for both. They're both going to be in big league camp, so we'll see what they've got. My biggest fear is that they throw Waldrop in the bullpen and just totally just mess with his development. Yeah. He's nasty. Like, he'll perform well, but I think they should just continue to develop as a starter, and whether that be in AAA this year or in the majors, wherever that is, he needs to start. And the same can be said for A.J. Smith-Shawver. I do believe there's going to be enough starts available in this rotation where there's certainly a chance that both of them get pretty good runs. So I think they are, at their draft costs, decent targets, especially in the Draft Champions League where you've got a deep bench, you can afford to sit on them. Yeah, I think that they are players to look at and ones that can provide some really good value.
Yeah, and I definitely think the starts will be there. Look at some projections for number of starts for this current starting five, and it's 141. That leaves 21 open starts, and they have Sale at 26. Give me the under there. They have Elder at 24 starts. Maybe. I just don't think he performs well enough to hold off those two, so give me the under there as well. They have Fried and Strider at 31 each, and then Morton at 29. I'd say the under on at least one out of Fried or Morton. So, yeah, I think you see a lot of starts there come their way, and I like both a lot. I think they're still very talented arms. Obviously, Waldrop probably has higher upside, but Smith-Shawver, the more, obviously, he's already been in the major leagues and has that footing underneath him. So I like both of them at their ADPs this year. I think they're both fine ADPs, and obviously more targeting them in best ball or draft and holds right now. If you're listening in the 12 rounds, Yahoo League, you're probably not looking at those guys. Maybe his late run dart throw on A.J. Smith-Shawver, but probably not Waldrop quite yet. But I think that for what the upside they bring, I would definitely look to take a shot on both of them. Look at their ADP since January 1st on NFBC. Waldrop is at 478. It's definitely deeper leagues there. And then A.J. Smith-Shawver is at 400. So, yeah, basically in that similar range of ADP. Love the upside there for both of them. Anybody else, Chris, you think gets a shot here that would be any fantasy relevance whatsoever?
No, they just don't have anybody else. Yep. Those are the guys, and their next best prospects are, you know, lower levels. So I don't think we see anybody else that makes any kind of fantasy impact.
Agreed. All right, moving over to the Miami Marlins here. Another one, that system overall is pretty bad. One of the, you know, worst systems in all of baseball. They do have Max Meyer coming back. He's still prospect eligible. Maybe you see some Xavier Edwards, cheap speed there. But I don't know. Max Meyer, I still like Max Meyer, Chris. I think there's still some decent upside there. Number three starter, I think he's some solid strikeouts. But for this year, I'm not sure if I see a big impact from him. It's like they already have five guys in the rotation. Right now it's Lizardo, Yuri, Garrett, Edward Cabrera, and Trevor Rogers. Obviously, Rogers has missed a lot of time for various reasons over the last year or two. And this even without Sandy, who's missing the entire year. I don't know. I think Myers maybe gets, I don't know, 8-10 starts. I just don't know if there's enough innings from Max Meyer for him to make an impact this year. And he's being drafted where, let's see, his ADP is 421. I would much rather have one of the two Atlanta guys for this year, at least.
Yeah, I think so. It's just ultimately the concerns of how many innings does he get and what do those innings look like. I think there's a real possibility that Meyer pitches a portion of the season in the minors to build back up. And like you mentioned, it's a pretty crowded rotation. Not to say that some of these guys couldn't fall out. I would certainly think that Edward Cabrera is better suited in the bullpen at this point. I'm not sure why they're still running him out there as a starter. I get it. There's upside, but I don't know. I think he's a bullpen arm. Rogers, got to stay healthy. Braxton Garrett, can he give you a full season? So I think there are openings, but I think that at the same time, we'll see Max Meyer most likely begin the year in the minors and probably pitch a decent amount there to build back up. I doubt they just throw him in the bullpen. I'm assuming that the route will be to start him in the minors, let him build up innings and see what he can do, and then see if they can get him in the rotation at some point, which seems like a really good possibility. So, yeah, for redraft, it's tough, but I'm probably avoiding Max Meyer.
Yeah, me too. I think he's still a decent buy in Dynasty League because the value's dropped a good amount. But, yeah, I'm not one I'm probably looking to target in redraft leagues this year. Plus, like we mentioned with Mike Carter last episode, there's talking about moving AJ Puck to the bullpen, to the rotation. I still don't believe that whatsoever. But yeah, I don't see a lot of innings from Meyer at the major league level this season. Going over to the Mets, though, and someone I do see getting a decent amount of innings in the major leagues, that's Christian Scott, who is still one I think is one of the most underrated pitching prospects, in all of baseball. What he did last year, one K minus walk rate, obviously it's super low walk rate. This guy, the floor is so high with him. I was fortunate enough to see one of his starts, and he was just in control. It wasn't even his best stuff. Like, he didn't have a great outing, but you can tell, like, when he does have his good stuff, he commands everything so well, limits hard contact, limits the walks, can still miss bats at a decent clip, too. And you look at this Mets rotation, Chris, and after Kode Senga's, he's decent enough. Severino, at this point, I don't think anybody knows what they're getting from Severino, both in terms of performance and number of innings he can pitch. And then, you know, Manaea is fine, and then Adrian Hauser. So it's not like it's like a star-studded rotation or durable rotation at that. So I think Christian Scott probably pushes 20 starts this year. I don't know. What are your thoughts there?
I really hope so. He's got the talent. He's got the potential. He's pitched at up to double A, I'm not mistaken. I don't think he reached AAA last year. And like you mentioned, the rotation is pretty bad, to say it nicely. So I'm not counting on many starts from Luis Severino. Can't stay healthy. Sean Manaea, can he pitch a starter's workload? We'll see. Adrian Hauser, Jose Quintana, This team most likely falls out of contention pretty early. Yep. And I would guess at that point that they end up bringing up some of the young guys and see what they can do. And most of the openings are in the rotation. So I think that completely makes sense with Christian Scott and Mike Vasile. The lineup for the most part is pretty solid. I could see some, the outfield has some question marks. Nimmo's going to play if healthy. Starling Marte, he's got to stay healthy too. But I think most of the openings are in the rotation. So I do think that those opportunities are there, especially for Scott. I'm curious if we see Vasile up first. He's been a AAA at least last year. And Dominic Hamill as well would be another interesting one to look at. They're all three spring training invitees. So we'll see them out there in Florida. And I think the Mets are ready to get an extended look at them, see what they got.
Yeah, might as well. These guys have all pitched fairly well in the upper minors, no less. And yeah, Scott did get up to AA, dozen starts, overall 2.57 ERA, 0.86 whip, and this was an 87 2/3 total innings, 107 strikeouts to just 12 walks. So, yeah, I like Christian Scott a lot. I think he's a top 100 prospect that doesn't get enough love, and I think he could really surprise people this year. That's why I've been getting him a ton, you know, in DCs. I think he's a pitch a good amount of innings this year. Now, going over to that lineup real quick before we move on to the next team, you know, obviously there's several intriguing hitting prospects in this New York Mets organization, a few of which they recently acquired in various deals. So do you think we see any fantasy impact this year from the big four of Jet Williams, Drew Gilbert, Luis Angel Cunha, or Ryan Clifford, Chris?
So I probably see all these guys, or I know we would probably see at least Gilbert. They've said that they're going to start him in AAA. Clifford, maybe. Jet, I'm not totally sure. I know he made it to AA at the end of last year. And Acuna, I think they all could see time. How extensive and are they worth drafting? I'm just not sold on that. So that's the biggest holdup. I think Gilbert, of any of them, probably stand the chance to see the most time just based on what they've said about him and how they're valuing them. But yeah, it would have to be like very late dart throws to take shots on them.
That's my thought, too. I think you see at least two, or maybe even all four of these guys debut at least. But I don't really think we see a sizable fantasy impact until 2025. Moving over to the Philadelphia Phillies, I don't think we see a ton of impact from this team either. We're not going to get Painter. He's still recovering. Maybe you get Mick Abel, Carlos de la Cruz. I don't know. Johan Rojas isn't prospect eligible anymore. But I don't know. Any interest in any Phillies prospects this year, Chris? Because I'm not really seeing much here.
No, I don't think so. The lineup's currently set. Unless there's like a major injury, the biggest question mark in the lineup is probably Johan Rojas. He plays in elite center field, so you know, nobody's really going to take that from him, I wouldn't think. In the rotation, yeah, I would say there's some opportunities at the back, but that doesn't mean anybody's going to step up and take those. You look at kind of the build of these starters in the org, and Mick Abel struggled with command. Griff McGarry really struggles with command. Painter, obviously, don't think we see him at all. And then, you know, there's nobody else that really is like pops off. It's like, okay, yeah, I think that they can come up and make an impact. The guys that have the AAA experience are all boring profiles, like Simon Muziati, probably Simone, actually. Matt Kroon, who we saw in the AFL, kind of, whatever. You mentioned Carlos de la Cruz. His contact skills are terrible. I just don't see any opportunities here. And the system just doesn't have any talent where it's like, oh, yeah, we got to get that guy. So now Philly's not a place I'm investing any prospects in for redraft.
Yeah, maybe in a couple of years when Aiden Miller gets closer, Justin Crawford. So maybe not even 2025, maybe 2026, or if they draft somebody this year. But yeah, for this year, not really seeing a ton of value. I think Johan Rojas is a good cheap speed guy later rounds of DCs and stuff like that. But yeah, not for standard redrafts. Don't see a lot of value here, but the Nats could have some fun players up this year. Dylan Cruz is probably up midseason. James Wood, maybe a similar timeline there. Maybe we see Brady House. He's behind them, but I think it's not out of the realm possibility that he debuts later this year. And then you get Cade Cavalli coming back from injury as well. Chris, are you looking at any of these guys even and probably more so the three not named house. He's a little bit behind these guys, but Cruz, Wood, Cavalli, you go in there in your drafts?
Cavalli is somebody that I have and I will draft in every DC because he goes to pick 700. Nobody's thinking about him. He looked like an ace in spring training last year. He was looking quite stellar. And then obviously he went down with TJ. So March the 6th, I think, puts him at a year. He began throwing in September. Obviously, he's not going to be in the rotation immediately, but I ultimately believe that you're going to get 15 to 20 really good starts out of Cade Cavalli, because who else are they going to throw out there?
I was going to say that their rotation is terrible. It's like, oh, Josiah Gray got a little bit of upside, be super inconsistent. Same with Mackenzie Gore. And then it's like, oh, Jake Irvin, Patrick Corbin, Trevor Williams. It's the most uninspiring rotation outside of the Rockies, probably in all of baseball.
Yeah, when Josiah Gray is your ace, I think there's an issue. He's not good. Mackenzie Gore's fine. But yeah, there's plenty of opportunities for Cavalli. They don't really have any other pitching prospects that they do, but is Jackson Rutledge going to be in the rotation? Maybe. I don't really see it. I think he's more of a bullpen guy. You've got like Mitchell Parker, who has a chance, I believe, to get some starts. Thad Ward, DJ Hers. There's interesting opportunities, but Cavalli's the investment here. Honestly, like, this team's not going to contend, so I don't think that we see them push Cruz or James Wood. Maybe I'm completely misreading the situation, but my belief is that we probably see Wood and Cruz like September and they're up opening day 2025. Like, yeah, they keep the prospect status, they could try to win rookie of the year. That's my kind of hunch, but maybe I'm completely wrong on that. But yeah, Cavalli's really the only one here that I'm like, okay, yeah, I got to invest in.
Yeah, I kind of have that sense with the big two as well. And similar to how I feel about another big name prospect that we'll talk about later in this episode. Yeah, they're going late enough where it's not like a huge investment. Let's see here. Where are they going? Yeah, Cruz is going 526, Wood 589. So again, just round, what, that 35 to 38 or so in a DC or something like that. And Cavalli, yeah, 658, like Chris mentioned, is going super late there. Yeah, I do think in terms of playing time, Cavalli gets the most there, and maybe we see the other three. But I don't know. If I were to invest in one of the two, I'd probably go Dylan Cruz. I do think he's up before James Wood, but he's a more polished hitter than Wood is. But for the most part, probably not going to have a lot of shares of these guys this year. Going over to the National League Central and the Cubs. Oh, Lord. They have, how many names did they put on the list? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 names. This is the only team, obviously no one can see our outline that we go off of, but every other team, all the names are written out first and last name, but there's so many Cubs players want to keep everything on one line. We're just putting last names, like Shaw, PCA, Horton. There's a lot of fun names here. The ones that'll be opening day are probably, obviously, Michael Bush. He better be. I still like someone, I can't remember who I was talking to. They're like, what if they sign Bellinger and then Bush is in AAA to start and he's blocked in Chicago too? I'll lose my damn mind if that happens. Obviously, I don't think Bush is going to be a stud, but I'm like, man, this guy deserves a shot at least. But for guys that will be there opening day, obviously it's going to be Bush and Jordan Wicks in that rotation. Maybe, I think PCA is 50-50 at this point. You got Teuchman there in center field. And I think PCA is still underrated, but I think PCA gets 400-plus plate appearances. I think Horton is in like that 15 or so start range. Shaw, I think, is being fast-tracked. He's working at third base. He could be up this summer. And then we probably see some, maybe Owen Casey later, Kevin Alcantara. There's so many other names. Matt Mervis is still in the picture. But I don't know. Let's just start with the two that will be their opening day that we know of, Michael Bush, Jordan Wicks. How are you liking their values this year, Chris?
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
So you've got an idea for a business. The store of your dreams. There's just one thing to figure out. Everything. That's why Shopify's all-in-one commerce platform makes it easy to sell online, in person, and everywhere else. Sell on social media, source products with an app to get that first sale feeling. It's the only solution that gives you everything you need to sell everywhere you want. So when you're ready to bring your idea to life, power it up with Shopify.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/listen.
Wix is, I'm pretty sure I just saw that they said they're going to start him in the minors. I do maybe I'm just making that up, but I swore I saw this. Oh, could open the season in the minors is what they said. So That's a concern.
They could go Assad.
Yeah.
And Steele, Taillon, Imanaga, and Hendricks are locked in. Yeah, I can see them going Javier Assad over Wix.
Yeah, I love Wix personally. I think that ultimately Wix is probably more than ready. He's such a high floor. He should be up. But if they're saying he could start the season in the minors, then I'm not as confident. But I do believe that he'll make 20 starts. So PCA, yeah, PCA should be up, I think. We'll see about, like, Bush obviously is going to be in the lineup. They traded for him. They gave up a pretty solid, some solid pieces to get him. So it'd be foolish to start him in the minors. I don't know. It's a really tough group because there are so many options, and there's not a lot of spots to fit in. I know Roster Resource has Mike Tauchman in center field. I just don't believe you bring up PCA to end the season, and then you don't start him in the majors. Like, that just doesn't make any sense to me. We'll see. I think that Bush is probably pretty confident, like, in the lineup, I hope, at least.
Yeah. He should. First base, third base. I don't think they're going to start Nick Madrigal. So that's what I'm hoping. Even if Bellinger does sign, let's say hypothetically he signs back with the Cubs, they could still play Michael Bush at third base. I can see that. And the ADP obviously has jumped, as we knew it would, following that trade. But it's jumped into the 350 or so range from what I'm seeing, which is kind of where PCA is going. Wix is 435. But I like Wick's decent. I think he could be a top 100 guy or top 100 pitcher, excuse me, this year. I think Bush could really surprise people. I think there's maybe the biggest case of prospect fatigue ever with Michael Bush, but I still think he's a potential 260 hitter that hits 25 home runs a year. And is he going to be a stud? No. Could he be a solid corner infielder for you? Absolutely. And maybe gets into the range where Andrew Vaughn kind of is, something like that. In terms of the other guys, though, do you see anybody breaking out of this group that gets a decent amount of playing time outside of the names we already mentioned? Do you see Matt Shaw? Do you see Owen Casey, Kevin Alcantara, Canario, Mervis, etc.? Any other names that kind of stick out for you there that you're like, oh, yeah, I might get this guy late in my deeper drafts?
Yeah, but before, I just want to preface about Bush. Like, everybody, people that say he's a quad A player, let me just preface this and say that quad A hitters don't post 80% contact rates and 88% zone contact rates and chase a 21% clip like Bush did.
Preach,
like, if you look at Joe Adell, it's a completely different profile.
I love that you said Joe Adell. Sorry. I was just thinking, I was like, yeah, Joe Adell is a guy that you could put a quad A label on, not Michael Bush.
Yeah, it's not even close. And Bush hits the ball hard. And he makes really good contact. I know everybody wants to say, like, PCL boosts his numbers. The PCL doesn't change contact rates. The PCL doesn't make you chase at a 21% clip. Yeah, it boosts power generically, but the EVs are plus. The contact rates are plus. Just mini rant. I just don't believe Bush is a quad A player.
Dude, so. It's 100% true. Like, people just look at big PCA numbers and completely write them off. Like, no, PCA changes surface stats. It does not change underlying metrics. Like you said, contact rates, quality of contact, chase, whiff, it doesn't matter where you are. Those numbers are true skill metrics.
Yes.
So, yeah, and of course, the numbers were huge in the PCA, whatever, or PCL, excuse me, PCA, PCL, whatever. But, yeah, no, Michael Butch, again, he's not going to be a stud. I don't think anybody's saying that he's going to be a stud, but the guy is solid, and it's way too early to put that label. Just because the Dodgers had – if Butch came up through Kansas City, Pittsburgh, he already would have probably had 1,000 plate appearances under his belt or something like that, just because he was with the Dodgers, and they're always loaded, and these defensive question marks for him, that didn't help his case at all. But yeah, I think that he's finally to get that shot, and even at the raised ADP of 350, it might even jump up near closer to 300. I'm so okay with that. I think posting 100 is fine for Michael Butch, and I think PCA is going to be up 400 plus plate appearances, and I think he's being slept on too. Like, everyone I talk about, when I'm talking about PCA, everyone's like, oh, they question the power or the speed or it's like always a question mark of some way with PCA, and yeah, he's not perfect. He has his warts, but. It's a fantasy friendly profile, and he's a good defender as well, which helps. And yeah, I think he's to have maybe even go 15-15 or something like that this year. I could see that for sure. And Matt Shaw too. I think he's like the other one that I'd be looking at. I do think we see the other guys, you know, at certain points throughout the year, but Matt Shaw is the one where I feel the safest with him. Obviously, he's my highest ranked out of anybody in this Cub system. I have him as a top 15 or so prospect overall, and the fact that he's getting reps at third base signals to me that they wanted to get his bat up sooner rather than later. So I think deeper drafts, I'd be drafting as much Matt Shaw as I can this year. I can see him getting like 200, 250 plate appearances or so. Next up, Cincinnati. Actually, not a ton of names here with the Reds because they're already all up in the majors. Obviously, Noelvi Marte is a big one here. And I think we both have said this at various points that we think he's in for a pretty big year. Looking at that guy, just drafting. Last time I checked the ADP, let me double check. We're at 170. Yeah, 169 right now on NFBC. And I think you could see a 2020 year out of him. The guy that he kept his speed and willingness to run even after bulking up, and never had that huge year in the minor leagues, but the metrics are there. In his time with Cincinnati last year, hard hit rate for about 45-46%, had a 91st percentile sprint speed as well. Obviously, the ballpark is great. The lineup should be pretty fun. So I like Marte a lot this year. I'm actually surprised he's not going higher. I would be willing to even jump that ADP a round or two, take him in the 140 to 150 range. If I miss out on all the big name third baseman, and I don't want to risk like going to that next tier in my drafts, I'd be fine taking Marte in the top 150.
Oh, yeah. I'm way into Noelvi Marte. I just think that everything's coming together that you want to see, like all the question marks that he had, like he's answered them.
Yep.
And the contact rates are good. He's a little bit aggressive, but his chase rate's like league average. He hits the ball incredibly hard. He's got speed despite the bulk in his frame. Man, I don't know. I just think Noelvi Marte is going to have he might have a rookie of the year type season. Yep. I'm curious, like, I don't bet, but like, where are the odds at him in NL Rookie of the Year? Because he might be the one to bet on if you do bet. I don't know. I'm just like way in on Noelvi Marte playing in that ballpark. I think he's just going to completely take off. And I know, obviously, there's some good players in the NL. Like, obviously, you've got Yamamoto, who probably stands the best shot. But I don't know. I think Noelvi Marte is going to have a really good year.
So I just pulled him up, and so I found a site that has all of the big name betting sets on there. It looks like he's either the third or fourth best. Yamamoto is clear favorite. Jung-Hoo Lee is actually second for DraftKings.
Interesting.
And then Marte and Jackson Chourio are pretty. Those are the two that kind of go back and forth, third and fourth best odds depending on site. And then after that, Lawler, Imanaga, PCA, Skeens, Bush, and Kyle Harrison. But yeah, so Marte, yeah, third or fourth best odds, and I'd say he has higher odds than Jung-Hoo Lee. I'm surprised to see Jung-Hoo Lee second ahead of Marte and Chourio. I thought he'd be down like closer to Imanaga, but yeah, I think Marte is in for a big year. I have him ranked already in my top, I think 70 for dynasty ranks, and draft price is good. I think dynasty value is still reasonable, and yeah, I've always been a big Marte guy. Everyone knows that. Anybody else for the Reds here that you're looking at this year, Chris? Connor Phillips is really fun. Obviously, he has some a walk rate issue, but really good stuff. Rhett Lauder might be up later on this year. Same thing, maybe we see some Blake Dunn later in this year if the outfield needs a name out there. But any interest in any of those three guys?
Phillips is interesting, but how he fits in, I think, is still the question mark, because they gave Frankie Montas a pretty sizable contract. They gave Nick Martinez a sizable contract. They still have Nick Lodolo, who needs to fit in. And so I don't know. I don't really see the opening that we want to see for Connor Phillips, because I do think he's pretty interesting. Blake Dunn could sneak in. It depends on they. I feel like they just churn these outfield spots, but at this point, it feels like they should be pretty locked in. We know Spencer Steer is going to be out there. He's got bumped from the infield at this point. Friedel's going to play center. Benson's in right. You got Jake Fraley as well. It's just, where do these guys fit? And while it's not like these superstars blocking them, these are really solid players that are in the lineups.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think we see Lauder at all. Phillips, yeah, I don't think he fits. Dunn, I don't know. So I think really it's just Noelvi, who we've already seen debut, and we feel like he's going to be for sure in this lineup every day. And I've tried to get him everywhere, really do. Like every DC, like I'm trying to get Noelvi Marte, because I just really believe in that profile.
100% agree there. Yeah, the other guys are really just dart throws and deeper leagues. Phillips' ADPs are around 600. Let's see, where does Lauder's 734. You know, Blake Dunn, 716. Even Jacob Herdebe's 741s. Just super late round dart throws, maybe, if you want to take some upside there. But yeah, Marte's the big one. And yeah, definitely two votes of confidence from the tool shed here for Noelvi Marte. Milwaukee's got a lot of fun ones too, Chris. Obviously, just acquired Joey Ortiz. Or Joseph Ortiz, if you want to be use his official name here. But he got him in the Corbin Burns trade. Also, Tyler Black is a guy that's pretty close, has a fun little profile there. Maybe we see some Jacob Mizierowski this year. DL Hall, maybe he's in the rotation to start the year. That's where Russ Arisos has him. I still don't buy it, but we'll see. But the one I want to start with, though, is Robert Gasser. And you've been pretty high on him for a while, Chris. I think Robert Gasser makes 20 starts this year, at least. I put the over-under at 20 and then take the over. Because after Peralta, obviously very good arm, Wade Miley, solid there. It's Jacob Junis, Colin Ray, and DL Hall. I just don't see those guys being the guys all year. And Gasser's probably next man up. Where are you at on Gasser, and how many starts do you think we see from him this year?
I think at least 20 is fair. I know they just signed Jacob Junis, but what are we expecting out of Jacob Junis? Like, not that much. Colin Ray, eh. Like, I think there's space for DL Hall. I think there's space for Aaron Ashby when he's ready. And I think Robert Gasser is going to be the most consistent of all of them. He's just steady. He's not flashy. He throws six pitches. Yeah, I've tweeted a lot about him. Like, he's just so under the radar. We're like, he was a big name. And I guess he's just not like super buzzy, so people stop talking about him. But no, Robert Gasser is a great investment, especially with the trade of Corbin Burns. Like,
yep.
I know they signed Jacob Junis. I know the rotation looks filled up, but don't forget about Robert Gasser.
Especially when his ADP is 460. Absolutely love that.
Yes.
And yeah, it's funny. When the Junis signing happened today, tweeted about him, and it was a picture of stuff, the slider stuff plus leaderboard on FanGraphs. And he was, ooh, that slider. And yeah, that was funny. I was looking at the other pitches for Jacob Junis. And yeah, his slider was like the eighth best stuff plus or whatever it was. Then all of his other pitches, as I said, the three offerings were all below average. That you could see right in the image there. So that's why Jacob Junis has ever really taken off and been a consistent arm for fantasy or real life. So yeah. Even after this, even before the Burns trade, I was all over Gasser in DCs, and even more so now. And a lot of fun guys in this lineup too, like getting Joey Ortiz in that deal. I want to see how that kind of where he plays. And there are some rumors of maybe they'll shop Adame, so Ortiz can play shortstop. We'll see. I'm not sure how that plays out. Right now, they have him penciled in at third base. Bryce Terang is there as well. I was a big Tyler Black, and I still am, but now there's a little bit more of a question mark with him. So looking at Ortiz and then Tyler Black as well, pair these two together, where do you see Ortiz playing? How much do you see him playing, Chris? And do you think there's still a path for Tyler Black this year?
I do think there's a path for Black. I think, honestly, I think they deal Adames. I would be shocked if he's on the opening day lineup, and that automatically opens a spot. Joey Ortiz is a plus shortstop. He's going to be a really good second baseman, I think. He can even play third.
Yeah.
So Terang is in the lineup. I like Terang. I know a lot of people like Terang, but Terang isn't blocking anybody. He's just not. Black is probably going to be forced to a corner, first, third, right field. I'm interested where Tyler Black fits in this puzzle. Maybe we don't see him immediately, but I do think we see Tyler Black get some reasonable time this year, especially with a really good spring training. I'm still investing in Tyler Black because I think the numbers work themselves out. Adames could get traded. They're going to have some injuries. Things happen. And when Black's ready, I just believe he's going to play, but I believe Joey Ortiz is an everyday guy. I don't believe they made this trade and ultimately think, okay, we're going to start Ortiz in AAA after he spent all year in AAA last year.
Yeah, I'm there with you. I think Ortiz plays a lot. I wonder how much time he gets at shortstop. He probably is the guy if they trade Adames. And I do think that they do trade Adames. I'd say it's above 50% chance. But Bryce Terang might be the odd man out. I've been liking him for some cheap speed later in my drafts, but maybe he's the odd man out if they don't trade him. But I still like Tyler Black. ADP maybe now it's going to drop down a little bit. Maybe he doesn't get quite as many plate appearances this year. Black, good speed, good on-base abilities, a little bit of pop, not a ton there. Over a full year, maybe he's 12 to 15 homers, 25-plus steals, and a solid average, good OBP. So like Tyler Black a lot. Had a big year last year. Still like him in deeper formats. Probably not going to draft him in 12-team leagues anymore. But I think Ortiz is a good late-round dart throw, and maybe he even ends up with dual eligibility of some sort. But, of course, we can't leave Milwaukee without talking a little bit about Jackson Churio, obviously. What do you think he does this year, Chris? Obviously, he's going to be up on opening day now after the contract extension last month. Do you see a potential 2025 year? Like, I'm kind of there for the power speed. I think it's going to be there. But I almost wonder, maybe the average is a bit lower than people would like. Maybe a 240, 245. He is a little bit aggressive, obviously, and he's made it work in the minor leagues. But I just wonder if that does get exposed a little bit by major league pitching to keep that average lower. But I still think he's, you know, decent value. He's been going on pick 150. That's fine. If you take your outfield three, I don't know if I want him as my outfield two, but outfield three with that upside, maybe 2025 this year, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I think you have to know that there is downside, but he's got enough power. He's got the speed. So I think that 2020, it certainly feels realistic, and maybe even more speed. Maybe he gets to 30 steals. But I do think it comes with a 250 average, maybe a little bit lower. So it depends on how he handles breaking balls. I think with the aggressive approach, there could be some downside. So I'd say that's something to watch closely. But ultimately, I think Churio's, like, if you, so let's think about it this way. Think about what Anthony Volpe did last year. Volpe was a 2020 player. I know the average was not great. He hit 10 or something like that. 209, okay. But he hit 21 homers. He stole 24 bases. I think that Churio could do that, but with a better batting average. Because
yeah.
Churio's made better contact in the minors than Volpe did. So you think about the kind of season that Volpe had. And I'm looking where he landed on like the player radar last year, because there's a lot of value in power and speed, but there was also the downside of the batting average. He didn't have a ton of runs in RBI, but there was still value in what Anthony Volpe did. And I think Jackson Churio, if that's the floor, then shoot, like that's a lot of value to be had there. So yeah, I'm fine investing in Jackson Churio this year in redraft. He's going to cost you like a top 125 pick. But like you said, if you can swallow the potential batting average downside, then it's a fine investment.
Yeah, absolutely agree there. Moving on to the Pittsburgh Pirates, much less exciting than the Brewers here. Obviously, the big name here is Paul Skeens. This is the one that I was alluding to earlier in the show where I just don't think we see a ton of innings from Paul Skeens. I think he's won like you were mentioning earlier in a different scenario, I think he gets held back to the point where he could be in the rookie of the year contention next year. Pittsburgh just has no need. Like, Pittsburgh's not going to contend this year or next year. They're still pretty far away from contending. So I don't see the need for them to really push him up to the major leagues to get more than 50 innings this year. And ADP has dropped a little bit. It was like 275, 280. Now it's about 50 picks after that, 330 to the 340 range. I'm still not looking to take him there. He'd have to fall. Even his max pick is 442. Maybe I would look at him there, but I just don't think we see a ton of innings from Skeens. And I think if they need an arm, they're going to bring up a couple of other names. You still got Quinn Priester in AAA. These guys aren't like sexy names by any means. Maybe they bring up some other names before Skeens. I just don't think I'd say under 50 innings this year for him. I don't know. Do you agree with that, or do you think we see him more than that?
No, I think they intentionally keep him under 50 innings so that next year he can be eligible for Rookie of the Year. So I think that's ultimately the plan. Why would they? I don't see a reason why they would bring him up.
Yep.
I think they're going to develop him in the minors. Everybody's going to keep clamoring for him to come up. And he's going to come up in, you know, late August, September, get his innings, and then still be a rookie in 2025.
Yep, absolutely. I would bet a sizable amount of money on that. Any interest in literally anybody else, any of the other, you know, pitching prospects that might come up this year? They got several other solid names, obviously none that bring the allure of a Paul Skeens. And I guess Nick Gonzalez is technically still prospect eligible if you look, you go by at bats. Any interest in anybody else in this system here this year, Chris?
Yeah, Jared Jones, I do think, sees the innings. If you're looking at a prospect, like, he's the one that I would consider investing in. He's seen a serviceable amount of AAA innings, and he's volatile. He may end up a reliever, but he's got a really solid arm. The stuff developed more last year. It held deeper into starts, which is something that you need to see. Like, when I saw him a lot in 2022, I was like, there's no way this guy's a starter, because the stuff disappeared in the third inning. The velo dipped. Like, I wasn't convinced, but he completely flipped that script. This rotation, Mitch Keller, Martin Perez, Marco Gonzalez, Luis Ortiz, and Bailey Falter. They've got some arms that can come up and make an impact. I think it starts with Jared Jones. He's one. Can Quinn Priester make an impact? Yeah, we'll see. Probably not. I don't know. They have arms, but are they really better than what's in the rotation? Outside of Jones, outside of Skeens, I like a little Jackson Wolf. He's interesting. He's debuted at least. So we'll see which way they go, but I'm not overly confident. I'm not overly investing in any prospect in Pittsburgh in a redraft.
Man, this rotation is just so bad. Like, outside of Mitch Keller, who obviously I'm probably a bit lower than most on Mitch Keller, but like, the rest of the rotation is the most meh group of four I've ever seen in my entire life. And it's funny, like, all the projections like have them all having a lot less Ks than innings pitched. This is not any, even the, would you say Mitch Keller's a sexy arm? And he's solid, but he's
volatile.
Yeah, he's volatile for sure. But yeah, I'm not investing in anybody. Skeens, not an ADP. And then there's really no other guys, maybe Jared Jones in the DC later on, but that's pretty much it. Going over to St. Louis now to close out the National League Central. A few tantalizing names here. Obviously, Mason Wynn's already up. He'll be their starting shortstop on opening day. Defense, great defense. Cannon for an arm. Maybe Thomas Ajayi, though. He's only played infield. At this moment, there's no open infield spot. Pretty loaded there at all positions. And unless you see Wynn struggle enough at the plate where they get him down to AAA for a little bit more time there to get his bat right. But I think the really intriguing one here, we've both talked a good amount about this offseason, Victor Scott. I mean, if he gets up and gets you 300 plate appearances, you're probably looking at 30 steals. Take whatever the number of plate appearances he has, drop like the last digit, and then that's what steals he probably could bring. Like 250, 25 steals. 200, 20 steals. Like, this guy is going to be an impact speed guy right off the bat. He's going right inside pick 500, I believe it was. So again, some of these guys we're talking about are for your deeper drafts. I get that, but you're not going to look at draft him in Yahoo leagues or any 12-team leagues. 495 ADP over the last 5 weeks of drafts or so. I'm trying to get as many like Victor Scott shares as I can. Like a DC I did recently, I did a Scott double tap. I got him in and Christian Scott, which I was very happy about. So yeah, Scott's a guy that's going to be an impact speedster right away. And again, I think you see at least 200 plate appearances from him this year.
Yeah, and if he does, he may steal 30 bases in 200. And it wouldn't shock anybody. He's obviously, we've talked a lot about who he is as a player, but he's got the speed. He's got more power than I think people think he does. He makes contact. And I've said it once, say it again, he's the better version of Estuary Ruiz.
Yep.
Like it's what he's what everybody wants Estuary Ruiz to be. He seems to find a spot. And he plays a really good center field, so that only helps his case. I think Victor Scott is a really great investment. Yeah, and there's other guys in this team that, in this org at least, that you know, I think could. I really like Ivan Herrera.
Yeah. You know,
he's like completely prospect fatigued, but he's got some really good stuff going for him. What do they do with Wilson? They want to move him off catcher. Do they? I don't know. We'll see.
To where?
Yeah. Where does he fit ultimately? And they gave him a 5-year deal. Yeah, you don't want – they gave him a 5-year deal. He's going to DH four of those. Like, doesn't make sense. But you have Thomas DeJacy, who I think can crack in eventually. Where? Those are the question marks. Like, where do these guys fit? I think you have to really consider that. And they've gone out and signed several rotation pieces. So it's a tougher lineup and rotation to crack right now. But I think if anybody stands a chance, like it's Victor Scott. Obviously, like Mason Wynn. He's already going to be their shortstop, so he's an interesting one as well. He'll give you a little bit of power and speed. I think he can hit for a decent average, but I don't think he's going to be like a superstar by any means. So, you know, he's somebody to watch out for as well. But, yeah, I think Victor Scott is the investment here.
Yeah, when's a cheaper Ezekiel Tovar? I don't – the ADP is not bad. It's around 350 or so. I guess that's fine because he's going to have a longer leash the most because of the defense and the arm that he has. That brings value to St. Louis. Absolutely. That's fine, ADP. I don't know. I'll probably go other directions. I won't have many Mason Wynn shares this year, but don't hate the ADP in general. National League West now, Arizona. It's literally, unless you're seeing anybody here that I'm missing, Chris, it's Jordan Lawler, and that's really it this year. And there'll probably have some other guys and maybe get up, but nobody that's really super exciting. And then most of the other guys, top guys in their system, are lower minors. I don't think we see Tommy Choi this year, Drew Jones, guys like that. So it's Jordan Lawler, but where does Jordan Lawler fit? It was looking like he could start before they acquired Eugenio Suarez and the Mariners about 6 weeks ago or so. So at this point, you may be looking at Lawler back in AAA for a little bit, but I still think, like, is Perdomo the starter the entire year? Probably not. Obviously, Lawler is the much better long-term player, so I still think he gets 400-plus plate appearances, and I think the Lawler we've seen in the minor leagues is pretty legit. I think he's a 20-plus homer bat, 25 steal guy, with a won't be a great average, but a decent enough average, 260, 270. So, I think the value dip, the ADP dip, I should say, is pretty nice. Again, it probably puts him out of 12-team target territory, but yeah, I'm still taking as many shares of him as I can because you're not going to find a guy in he's past pick 300 now, past pick 300 with as much upside as Lawler, or not many of them at least. So are you still going to target Lawler this year, or are you more hesitant now given the Suarez at third base?
Yeah, he's one that's, I think, tough to figure out. I like the skill set. I think he made some really solid improvements last year that long-term should be sticking. Is Geraldo Perdomo going to block him all year? I don't think so. Perdomo may start the year as their shortstop. Lawler may start down, but I don't think it's going to be for long. I think that Lawler's still going to see plenty of time. I think he's going to get 300 to 400. Shoot, maybe he gets more. Some have him, Zips has him projected for 531, so that would be a lot of fun if that worked out. But ultimately, I don't know. It's a tough investment in redraft. Even in Dynasty, if he doesn't start the year in the majors, then people might be questioning. They create a good buying opportunity, but for redraft, I'm not sure I'm investing, honestly.
Yeah, I think it would depend on where he falls in my draft. If 300, that's still, for a guy that might not get 400 plate appearances, I do think he does, but given the uncertainty in playing time, it does make it more tricky to draft him. I was all in. Before the Suarez signing, I think the ADP was like 250-ish. So I'm surprised that's even dropped more, but I was all in on that ADP. But now, obviously, it's a little more murky. But in general, still very high on Lawler. Great dynasty buy, for sure. Colorado, similar to like the Mets, where there's like a group of guys that are all fairly intriguing, but how much of them do we see? I think that the one that we do see, obviously, he's going to be probably started on the outfield for them, is Hunter Goodman. And I think the best way to describe Hunter Goodman is cheap power. If that's what you need late in your draft, fine. Then they got this, the quintet of Adiel Amador, Jordan Beck, Yankiel Fernandez, Sterling Thompson, Zach Veen, all of which have gotten to double A or higher in 2023. So I guess, A, do you like Goodman as a cheap power guy? And do you think we see any of that, you know, other cluster enough to make an impact this year?
Yeah, Goodman should play pretty much every day. He's got big power. Coors could certainly boost that batting average a little bit. And so that'd be something to watch out for. I don't know. The rest of the crew, I don't think we may be late in the season. Like Amador, probably September. Jordan Beck, probably September. Yankiel, same boat. That maybe they don't even care about these guys potentially winning rookie of the year. So they may not even try. Man, I don't know. None of them are real investments to me. At some point, there's going to be openings in this lineup. Charlie Blackman's got to retire at some point. Brenton Doyle, is he going to man center field forever? I know he provides some decent value with his glove. You've got Goodman in right. You've got Nolan Jones in left. It's just such a weird lineup, and it's even worse rotation. It's a shame that there's no prospects that are close. This rotation is like, I don't even know what to say about it. You could take the worst starting pitcher on probably half of the MLB teams and make a better rotation than this.
I was going to say like 27 of the other MLB teams. It's so bad. Like, I challenge anybody out there without looking it up to name three of the projected starters. Everyone will get Cal Quantrill and Kyle Freeland. I'll give those two. But after that, it's, oh my Lord, it is terrible. It's when the projections are all above five ERA.
Every single one of them.
The best one. And these are the ones I look, the ones that they show on roster research are this at the FGDC, the Fangraphs calculated projections. The best one is Ryan Feltner at 5.28. It is. There's only one pitcher worth drafting at all from the Rockies, and that's Justin Lawrence because he's got to get some saves. That is literally it. Even that bullpen is trash. Everybody in the bullpen is projected for an ERA above 4.5.
I don't even know if I draft Justin Lawrence. It's that bad.
That's the only one that I would even like remotely consider. But they do got the duo of Bird and Bard out there. That's pretty fun. But they got Bird, Bard, and Beaks.
This is incredible.
You can't tell me that was at least somewhat intentional.
Dude, the Rockies don't do analytics, but they do great names.
They probably have an analytics department just on names. So, hey, listen, I know we're going to suck, so let's get Bird, Bard, and Beaks out here in the bullpen. Is there any other bird-themed names we can get for that team? Probably is another one somewhere, but
there's got to be.
That's bad. But yeah, getting back on track here. I feel the same way about that. We did about the Mets grouping where we probably see them at some point this year. They're all in the upper minors, but how much time do we see? If I had to pick one, probably I'd lean Jordan Beck out of these guys for this year. Amador would be my pick, and he's my highest ranked by a solid amount, but obviously he missed a lot of time last year, so I don't think he sees a ton of time. So I think Beck, or maybe with Sterling Thompson, he's one of the better pure hitters in their system. So maybe those two, but nothing more than late run dart throws. The Dodgers, same old story here for the Dodgers, where they don't have a ton of openings. And even a lot of their top guys are the Josue De Paulas, Eduardo Quinteros, all on the younger side and not due up this year. But Nick Frasso, Landon Knack could all get starts. There's a lot of starters already on this team, but they're all risky. Glasnow, obviously, we know the risk there. Buehler's already going to miss the beginning of the season. How much does he pitch after that? Gonsolin's out for the year. They got Paxton. There's just a lot of question marks. So maybe Frasso or Landon Knack sneak some innings in. Will it be enough to be impactful? I don't know. I'm probably not targeting them. And then maybe Dalton Rushing. I don't know. There's not really anybody, which feels weird to say, but I don't think I'm really going to be targeting any Dodgers prospects this year.
Yeah, because they go out and they buy literally everybody they want. So they don't need these guys. Frasso is hurt. He's out for the year.
Oh, yeah. I totally forgot that. Yeah, he did tear that labrum.
Yep. So he's done. So we don't see Frasso. If there's any chance of any pitcher finding a spot in this rotation, it would take an injury or two. Honestly, yep. Though, because there's just so much talent. And you've got Gavin Stone. You've got Michael Grove, who pitched in the majors last year. You've got Landon Knack, who's knocking. You've got Kyle Hurt. You've got River Ryan. It's just absolutely nuts. And then there's no room for him. Rushing, yeah, probably doesn't get any time. I'm just looking like Andy Páez, maybe, but I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
The only weakness in this lineup is Jason Hayward in right field. I think that Páez has a chance, but Páez hasn't played enough. He was hurt a decent bit of last year. I think we see most of his time in AAA, honestly. Maybe he gets a crack down the stretch, but yeah, we'll see. It's not a org that I'm looking to invest in for prospects for redraft.
Yep, 100% agree. And yeah, my apologies, everyone. I completely forgot about the torn labrum.
Just happened.
Yeah, I totally forgot about that when I threw that him on the sheet here. But yeah, nobody of note here for this year. And I know he's not a prospect, but you get the feeling that Miguel Vargas is going to take over the Michael Busch role of just like languishing in AAA for a while.
Yeah, I hope he gets traded. Like, I hope that if they get Willy Adames, that they trade him over there. But it'd be interesting. We'll see. But he probably doesn't even play there either.
I know.
I don't know. Vargas has some good traits. I was just talking to somebody about him the other day. I think that we were too high on him as a prospect. Now we're way too low on him as a player. There's like a decent middle ground that he finds, and he becomes a decent player. So,
yeah, that definitely shows some upside there for sure. All right, two more teams rounded out, San Diego and San Francisco. San Diego, probably the most impactful guy this year, at least, is probably Drew Thorpe. But then they have a lot of other guys that are potentially up this year. Probably see Jackson Merrill at some point. And then maybe some combination of Robbie Snelling, Graham Pauly, Samuel Zavala. Probably not him. He's the one I think that has the least likely chance of debuting. But then Jacob Marcy as well. Obviously, Pauly, Marcy, Snelling all had huge years last year. Merrill is their top prospect on the hitting side. And then they just acquired Drew Thorpe in the Juan Soto deal. And I guess we can start there. Right, looking at this San Diego rotation, it's Joe Musgrove, Yu Darvish, Michael King. All right, that's good. Then the 4-5 currently projected to be Pedro Avila and Randy Vasquez. Maybe, I don't think they will, but I also wouldn't be shocked if Thorpe wins a rotation spot. So in general, I like Thorpe a decent amount. I know there's questions about the fastball. The velocity isn't quite there. So maybe we did go a bit high on him as a prospect last year's rankings, but I still think he's going to be a solid arm. Mid-rotation type, can miss bats at a solid clip, really good changeup, one of the best changeups I've seen live in the minor leagues, and a decent little slider as well. So I think Thorpe could still provide some value and probably gets, again, like Gasser, probably gets 20-plus starts this year.
Yeah, I do think that there's certainly those opportunities. And we think of the Padres in this basically this big spending organization they were, but there's major cracks right now, and there's a lot of opportunity. You look at the rotation, and it's Musgrove and Darvish. I'm not even confident that King can handle a starter's workload. And you've got Randy Vasquez and Pedro Avila. I don't see why that we don't see Drew Thorpe make a ton of starts in the major leagues this year. Johnny Brito also has an opportunity. It's just that they're there. You've got Jairo Uriarte who could come up and make some starts.
Yeah.
I think Jackson Merrill honestly could start in left field for this team. They were talking about that last spring training. And here they are with Cal Mitchell out there.
I was like, wait, you don't think Cal Mitchell and Jose Azucar hold down those spots all year?
Yeah.
How dare you?
Yeah. We know Machado's going to have to DH to start the year. They've got Matthew Batten at third. There's several opportunities here for playing time. Eggy Rosario is another one. I like Rosario a decent bit in this lineup. Yeah, Eggy. So there's opportunities for several guys. I don't know if we see Snelling this year. But I do think for Holly and Marcy, they could crack that left field spot too.
It's funny, the Stars and Scrubs approach in like an auction league. This is like the major league version of that, because you get that pretty good like 1 through 6 of the lineup, and then the bottom three, and then the bench. Higashioka is a solid backup catcher, but it's like Matthew Batten, Cal Mitchell, Jose Azucar, Oscar Mercado, Bryce Johnson. I guarantee someone during the course of the last 3 minutes said who to one of those names. So, yeah, I think, especially in the outfield with Tatis being the only one locked in, and who knows if he can, you know, obviously he has his issues and could, you know, injury issues as well. I think you see potentially Jacob Marcy, you know, again, I do think you could see, like you were saying, maybe you see a little bit of Jackson Merrill out there. Maybe you see some Graham Pauly over at third base or in the outfield. So, pretty interesting group here. Snelling, I don't know. He's one of the top pitching prospects in baseball, top 10 pitching prospect, no doubt for me. But I maybe he gets some time in September, but I don't think – I think next year will be the bigger impact for Snelling. And then lastly, we round out with San Francisco. They get two bigger names with Kyle Harrison, who will be in that opening day rotation, and then Marco Luciano as well, who's probably their starting shortstop. I don't see any reason why he wouldn't be. Luciano, I'm not Luciano. I question how much average he hits for. Yeah, the power is solid, but I really question where the average and OBP are, and so I'm pretty out on him. You know, ADP is not even that high, but want no shares of him. Kyle Harrison, you know, everyone knows I'm a bit lower on Harrison than most just because of the inconsistencies, and I still think that's going to be there with the higher walk rate. But I was actually looking at his ADP. I don't hate it, Chris. Again, this is January 1st. ADP is 272. I'm actually surprised it's not closer to 200, to be honest with you, given the upside. He had some flashes last year, you know, that couple really dominant outings and, you know, the top prospect status. So I thought he'd be a lot higher. So I actually, surprisingly, don't hate that ADP this year.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. I think there's a couple of, you know, different ways to look at Harrison for this year. I like the potential, but he's still got some work to do. The ADP makes it where he should be a pretty decent investment to make. I'm not like crazy in on him, but I'm not like out either. So I think that if you can stomach the risk there, he's got the upside and potential to be a really good pick.
Yeah. Again, it'll give you some solid Ks at the very least. If he gives you like 150 innings, you could look at 175, 180 Ks, something like that. Probably more like 4.3, 4.4 ERA and 1.25, 1.3 WHIP, something like that. So ratios probably won't be the greatest, but gives you strikeouts and ADP like that. I was surprised that I didn't hate that, and I was surprised it wasn't at least 50 spots higher than it was. Any interest in anybody else in this system, Chris? Maybe we see some Wisenhunt, some Black. Yeah, any interest in those guys in deeper leagues?
I don't know what Wisenhunt's health status is right now, so that's kind of the biggest question. Maybe there's been something on him that I just completely missed. But, yeah, Mason Black probably stands a good chance to potentially get some starts, especially considering how that rotation's lining up right now. There's shots at the back end for sure. They're looking to make Jordan Hicks a starter. Got Keaton Wynn, you've got Tristan Beck. There's no reason Mason Black couldn't grab 20 starts here. Yeah. In this lineup, if you could still consider Luis Matos a prospect, he's one to invest in. I don't know. I think there's some interesting things to look at here. You've got Kaiwi Tang in AAA, and he's got like a big strikeout upside, kind of ratios you get like still can be determined, but yeah, I think black is the pretty solid investment here, honestly.
Yeah, because outside of Webb, obviously Webb's a lock. Harrison probably is a lock this year, but Hicks certainly, like, they're trying this out. Who knows how that'll go? He's a fun arm, but a lot of red flags there too. And then Keaton Winn, Tristan Beck, like you mentioned, definitely some starts to be had there. So that'll be interesting to see how that plays out throughout the year. Maybe some deep round dart throws there, some innings with Mason Black. But that'll wrap us up here with the National League. Again, make sure to check out the American League version from a few episodes ago, going over a lot of fun prospects that could either debut on opening day, already are up later on the year, and try to cover a whole variety of leagues here from your 12-team Yahoos to deeper draft and hold best balls, give you a wide variety of targets here. This was a lot of fun, but that will wrap us up. Thank you to all the listeners for tuning in. Again, we hope you enjoyed it. Check out all of our work, obviously, on thedynastydugout.com, toolshedfantasy.com, rotoballer, FTN, a lot of great content on all of those sites. And we'll be back with you again on Wednesday. Nope, today's Wednesday. Sorry, on Friday. But until then, everyone take care.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.